So it is definitely real when you get that text that it does something to you. I was over in Columbus. I was working, and I had a little extra time, so I went over. I saw Jacob at Chick-fil-A, saw him through the window, and I'm sitting there in the parking lot eating my food, and I get a little notification pop up on my car that says a message from Brother Decker, and my heart just dropped. I didn't eat the rest of my food. I kind of just threw it away. It was just it was pretty surreal, that feeling that hits you. But before I get started with the thoughts the Lord's given me, I feel like it's a really good opportunity to, you know, talk about what the Lord's done for me here recently. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the most recent thing, is the awesome revival we had. It is pretty crazy standing in the pulpit right after Brother Dishman. So I'm thankful for all the good thoughts that he brought and all the help I received from those thoughts. And I'm thankful for all the visitors that came out. It's definitely big when there's new faces in the church. I'm also thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the godly examples in my life with saved grandparents. I really look up to them, and I know I can go to them for just about anything, as well as parents, you know, and they taught me how to live right. And there's a lot of kids out there that don't, you know, they weren't raised right. And just an example, when I had proposed to Maddie, her mom was telling her coworkers about it, how I had bought her a ticket so she could fly up to New York. And her coworkers were like, does this kid live around here? And she was like, yeah, like, why? And they said that, you know, you just don't see stuff like that from kids these days. And I'm just really thankful that I'm not anything on me, but I'm thankful my parents taught me, you know, how to live right and what to do and how to be a gentleman. And I'm thankful for my fiance, and I'm thankful for what God's done in Maddie's life and how he's just brought her along and the, you know, amazing girl she is now. I'm thankful for Brother Decker, and he's always willing to talk with you. So I got that privilege of talking with him when I was going to propose to Maddie, and that was very nerve-wracking as well. My parents really enjoyed the picture I sent them in the bathroom with my sweat stains, really real big after talking to Brother Decker. So, but I'm just really thankful that he can give you the good godly wisdom that you stand in need of, as well as the youth leaders. You know, they're always willing to talk with you, and I'm just really thankful for, you know, their desire and their burden to be the youth leaders. And I'm thankful for a good job. Safety on the roads. I do a lot of driving. And I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to be a witness while I'm working. It might seem kind of crazy, but one of the people who I do photos for, she grew up in church, and she grew up in this church actually. And I don't know if I'm really doing anything, but just living the life in front of her, I, you know, just hope that I can be like that good godly witness, and maybe it be what brings her back, you know, to makes her want to come out to church. And I'm very thankful for the flexibility in my job, where I can, you know, take a week off and go to Oregon, go out to Indiana's camp meeting. I can just be in the services. And I'm thankful for, I also got a house. But anyways, so now for the message portion of this, I'm definitely the kind of guy when I'm, you know, following along in a message, I like to have like the title so I can keep kind of roping things back to it, kind of stay on track. And for this, you could definitely say my title would be Weeding Your Spiritual Flower Bed. So it's kind of funny because I've got a little story. And the thing is my message, it's got a lot of stories of things that's happened in my own life and how I'm going to relate them to, you know, how you need to stay on top of your spiritual flower bed. So I'm going to set the stage for talking about flower beds and talking about how much I despise doing any bit of flower bed work. And it all really stemmed from this crisp 100-degree day in July on my 10th birthday when my parents decided it would be a good day to go weed and mulch the flower bed. So it's probably one of the worst birthdays I've ever had, and I've hated the flower bed work ever since. And this is a message that I've always kind of joked with Brother Mike Wilkes that he should bring due to the little backstory on it. And it really came from about 3 years ago when it was the Memorial Day here at church, the work day, and me, my dad, and Brother Mike and Brother Jared Decker, were out slinging mulch and pulling weeds. And the thought came to me, you know, this, you know, one flower bed can get away from you. And that really all stems from one weed turning into two weeds to three to four and so on. And I was thinking about that while we were weeding it, I was like, this is a lot like your soul or your heart. You know, these weeds, so I'm going to use weeds and sin pretty interchangeably. So just bear with me on that. So these weeds, these different sins could pop up. You know, it could be one, they always say it starts with like one white lie and that leads to another lie and then it leads to a lie. So when you kind of think of it like that, you don't want your spiritual flower bed, you know, getting out of control and getting away from you. And so those are kind of the thoughts that the Lord's laid on my heart I should bring tonight. And these thoughts over the last couple of years have just really came to me at random times. I'll be driving down the road and I'll think, you know, hey, that flower bed, this, you know, these kind of line up. Or, you know, I'll be walking in the house and I'll look over at the flower bed in our front yard and I'll be like, you know, that's crazy. I never really thought of it this way. So my goal is definitely to make this message relatable and understandable. So yeah, I've got seven analogies. Some of them are short, like two of them are long. So that I want to take a look at. So kind of just to compare, you know, this real life flower bed with your spiritual, your heart, your, you know, and your spiritual flower bed. So the first thing I want to hit on is curb appeal. So I think that you can definitely start, I feel like I should have started with this one. Because, I mean, picture pulling up to like a really, really nice house. One of the things that jumps out at you first is like the landscaping and how nice the house looks. And I definitely feel like as Christians, if our spiritual flower bed is, you know, the weeds are pulled and the flowers are blooming and everything just looks really nice, it's definitely something to, we're taught to make the way attractive. And I think that when you have that, those the different, you know, your good attitude, you show love, you show compassion, you show those different fruits of the Spirit, you're going to see that shining through. And I feel like that is a very good way of, you know, making the way attractive. So I thought that was very comparable to like, you know, your curb appeal. So the second one is watering your flowers. So this is a thought that came to me from an experience at our house. So we had finally upgraded our window boxes from fake flowers to real flowers. And keeping those things alive was quite a struggle. There was many times where we were like, somebody needs to go out and water the flowers. And it would kind of get pushed off. And next thing you know, you're not watering the flowers. So what we ended up finding out worked best for us was we actually got a sprinkler system hooked up. So every day at a certain time, for a certain amount of time, the flowers would get the water. And when I was thinking about these thoughts and meditating, that thought came to me and I was like, that's a lot like reading, praying, being in church, being in youth messages, basically anytime the church doors are open, being in there, is you're constantly watering those flowers by being under the messages, reading, you know, reading the Bible, praying and stuff. And that's going to go back to that first point, and that's going to make those flowers, you know, shine. They're going to pop, and it's going to, you know, help you grow as a Christian. So the next one I've got is weeds in your flower bed. So obviously this one, I've already kind of hit on it, but I feel like it's really necessary to reemphasize the importance on, you know, getting those weeds, getting that sin, those things that are wrong out of your flower bed before they become something big. And I'm sure there's many of us that have pulled weeds before, and you know you can't just reach over and pull it and call it a day. You got to make sure that you get down there and get to the root of it. And I feel like that's really comparable to something in your spiritual walk, because you know it's like, oh, I have this temptation. And it's just this weed. I'm going to pull this little weed. And realistically, there's something down in there that's causing this temptation. And it's important that you get down in there and you remove whatever that is that's causing the temptation altogether, to where you don't have to face or deal with that problem anymore. So the fourth point I have is using your garden tools to help you weed your flower bed. So when you're working in your own flower bed at home, or you're working here on Memorial Day, Sister Stephanie has the big trunk full of tools and stuff, and that's so you can do that more complete job, that better job, make your job easier too. And when I was thinking of these tools, the thought really came to me and paralleled is you have brother and sister Decker, you have brother and sister Sterlucky, brother and sister Miller, different pillars in the church. These are these tools that you have at your, you know, accessible to you, that you can take these tools, and when you have these weeds or these problems come up in your life, you can go to those people and you can counsel with them, and they can help you remove those things from your life. Rather that be, you know, sitting down and talking with them, or, you know, being, you know, in the service and hearing the message and learning and taking things from it, you can get those different weeds taken out of your life. And in Proverbs 11:14, it says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And one of the cool things about my Bible is actually a parallel Bible. So you got the King James on one side and your Amplified on the other. And I really like how the Amplified says it, "Where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a ship without a helm. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory." So just going to those different tools that are, you know, ready there at your disposal, you can go to them and they can pray with you, and you can counsel with them, and then get those things, you know, cleared up and taken out of your life. The next example I have is laying down the black, like that black liner, that black tarp, to prevent your weeds from growing. Here's another story. So this comes from, we had laid down the black liner or the tarp at our house. And I was walking inside the house one day, and it was right after I just weeded the flower bed and we got the tarp down, so it was looking really good. And like a week later, I look over, and no joke, there's like a weed like a foot out of the top of the flower bed. I said, "You gotta be kidding me." So I reached down and I grabbed it, and like the whole thing pulled out, and I really didn't pull on it hard. And turns out that weed had actually grown on top of that black tarp. So like the root wasn't under, nothing was under, it just was all right on top of it. And as I was, you know, like I said, meditating on the message, I was thinking of these different examples and, you know, how comparable were they were to your spiritual life. And this is, I feel that this is something that is very, you can relate this to somebody who's living right. They're doing what they, you know, doing what they know. They're obeying the pastor. They're obeying the different things that you know, you're living for the Lord. And that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to try to come in and get to you. He's going to, he's still going to get in you. He's still going to get after you. And maybe something does grow in your life, but you can just snatch that right out real easily, just like that one there in our flower bed. And I have a couple scriptures about this. James 4 and 7, that says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." So that doesn't mean that the devil is just going to be like, "I'm done with you, I'm going to go try to deal with somebody else." The devil always will be after you. But the closer you are to God, the more durable your flower bed is going to be. And that also leads you to Ephesians 6 and 10. And this is a very well-known passage. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So I compare that, your armor, your God, to your, you got that black liner. You got that black thing. It's going to prevent those weeds from getting down in there and really getting to you. But it's important to stay on top of it too. You can't just say, oh, I'm saved, and then just go on your way. You just, you always got to be measuring up. If God shows you something you need to step up in, then it's very important to take that step up where God wants you to. So my next example is definitely a little more serious, but I definitely feel like it was the way the Lord was having me go. And this is just laying mulch on your flower bed. And there's a lot of, this is unfortunately more true than I think that anybody would really like to talk about. They have these different weeds, they have these sins, and instead of, you know, wanting to clean it up, instead of wanting to clean up their life, what they're doing is they're just throwing out a nice fresh coat of mulch over top of it. And this was, as I was thinking on this thought, a story came to me of, we have a neighbor across the street, an elderly guy, and he had asked me about doing his flower or his yard work one summer when I was back in high school. And so I started doing this work for him, and one day I walked over there, I'm like, you know, what's the plan for today? And he said, well, I want you to weed this section of the flower bed. And this section of the flower bed was just overtaken by weeds. So after many hours, more like a couple, but two, but it felt like a lot sitting there in the sun, it really didn't look like I'd put too much of a dent in it. And I walked back over to him, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm done for the day. I just really couldn't get this. Like, we'll have to figure this out for next time. He's like, yeah, that's fine. So the next week I went back over there to, you know, do the work. And there's a couple bags of mulch there. And I'm like, well, I wonder what these are for. So I'm like, hey, you know, what's the plan today? He's like, since we really couldn't get those weeds, we're just going ahead and, you know, throw a fresh coat of mulch over top of it so you can't see it. And then within like a month, the weeds were popping right back up at the top. But what that really reminded me of is, you know, like I said, somebody that isn't living right, you know, they want to do what they want to do. And so they're putting on that fresh coat of mulch where they look good on the outside. Nobody can tell that things are going on with them, but they know, and so does God, most importantly. And in James 2 and 10, it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he is guilty of all. So, I mean, I feel like that really kind of emphasizes that point. And even you could have the example of where you're pulling the weeds, but you don't want to, you like having the temptation, but you want to pull it sometimes. But there's really that root down in there that keeps causing these same things. And then in Ecclesiastes 11 and 3, Ecclesiastes 11 and 3, this is kind of always a story or a passage of the, or a verse that's really kind of like emphasized me this, like not emphasized, but really like amazed me, like the simplicity of it. And it says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And I mean, that's about as clear as, you know, clear as day. And as I was studying this, I came across some guy named John Gill. He does an exposition of it. And his what he talked about in this verse was, it says, so when a man is cut off by death, as he was then, so he remains. If a gracious and good man and has done good, he is like a tree that falls to the south. He enters into the paradise of God, the joys of heaven. And if not a good man and has not done good, he is like a tree that falls to the north. He goes into a state of darkness, misery, and distress. Just the simplicity of how clear that's made. I mean, like I said, it's as straight as that. I mean, you've got one sin, you're falling the wrong way. So it's definitely something that you should really take into consideration if you are just throwing a fresh coat of mulch on, you know, instead of really taking care of the problem that's going on in your life. And my last analogy is when your flower bed gets out of control, sometimes you gotta call the expert. So we lived in our house for about 10 years. We're a little over 10 years now. And we have, there's, like I said, there's the flower bed there. And I mean, every year we go out, we weed and we'll mulch it. And eventually it just really wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking bad, but it was looking a little worn out, I would say. So what my parents would have had decided to do was they called in the pros, and they came in there and they got their backhoe and they just tore the whole flower bed out. And so there was no weeds to have to worry about. There was nothing. But then they put in a brand new flower bed. And so as I was thinking about this thought, it kind of reminded me of somebody who, you know, they've kind of let their spiritual flower bed go. They've let sin come into their life, and sin's just overtaken. And eventually, they're just sick of the way it looks. They're sick of the way that the flower bed looked. So you can call the pro Jesus. So many times, the ones that are sick of sin, they need to, you know, let Jesus come in, and he can get in there, and he can completely redo that flower bed for you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, I mean, that's about as clear as it can be. Jesus can come in, completely redo your flower bed, completely clean out your life, clean out your heart, and he can put those beautiful flowers in that I talked about there at the beginning, where you show love, you're showing compassion, all those other fruits that are very important to be, you know, to be a good Christian. And this is my lengthier one of the different comparisons, because as I was thinking on this and meditating and preparing, two stories really kind of stuck out to me, two well-known stories. But you have the story of the prodigal son. So I do want to read that. That is in Luke 15. All right. Luke 15. All right. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there was a wasted substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound. So I definitely feel like that's a really good comparison to, you know, your life's gotten out of hand, and your father, you know, the prodigal son, he's the father and son in that story. But realistically, we're the son, or we're the child, and God is our father. And no matter what, he's always going to be welcoming us back with, you know, loving arms and arms, you know, outstretched. And then the other different example that came to me was the story of King David in 2 Samuel 11. It's also a very well-known one. All right. And it says, in verse 1, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at an evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from there the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And that woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, and the wife of Uriah?'" And I definitely, and we know as the story goes on, that David ends up lying with her, and then David then plots to have her husband killed so then he can be with her. And then in the next chapter over there in 2 Samuel 12, 13, the Lord had sent Nathan to David, it says, "And David said unto Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said unto David, 'The Lord also hath put away sin. Thou shalt not die.'" So David sincerely confessed his sin and wrongdoing. And, you know, he definitely wanted that cleaned up with the Lord. And, you know, if you do come to Jesus with that willing heart and that you're truly sorry for the things you've done in your life and you know you're not living right, the Lord will definitely have you back in, and it all comes back together where you call in the Lord to come in and he'll clean out your flower bed, he'll make your life new, he'll forgive you of those sins, those mistakes, those all that stuff that you did in that time. He can put that nice fresh flower bed, give you that nice clean heart. And but that is only if you're willing to give up and let him have full control of your life. And it, as we saw throughout the message, is just because you're going to do that doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, all roses. You're still going to have things that are going to come up. You still have to maintain your salvation. And we've all heard many messages on maintaining your salvation and the things you have to do. We know the things you have to do to maintain it. But as I begin to close, I definitely want to leave everybody with something to think about. So at our house, we have a rule. When you're walking to the front door and you look over, I made this rule, and you look over and you see a weed in the flower bed, just reach over and pick it up. And, you know, it prevents your flower bed from, if you let one weed go, then the second weed pops up and you're like, oh, well, there's one in there already, so we might as well be fine with two. And then, boom, next thing you know, you're weeding the flower bed and there's a million weeds in there. And this is something we need to take and we need to apply to our spiritual flower bed. You know, when something does pop up, rather than just neglecting it, saying, oh, well, I can get to that weed when I go get the second one or the third one. You know, you get that taken care of, because if that eventually starts rooting down into your flower bed, it can lead to more weeds growing and it can lead to a deep root that is eventually, you know, it's going to be a battle to get that cleared out of your life. Or sometimes if you're not willing, if the battle gets too rough, you might just give in, and then next thing you know, you're just in a world of trouble. But as I close, I really hope this message has kind of been a challenge for everybody. I mean, it was for me as I was studying for it, to really take a look at, you know, yourself, at your spiritual flower bed, and if there's something that shouldn't be in there, if your flower bed's gotten completely out of control, you know, the Lord is always willing to, you know, work through your problems with you, and he'll, you know, if you are one of those ones that your flower bed's out of control, he can completely, you know, get it cleaned out for you, and you can get a nice fresh flower bed in there. And if for the saved ones that do have something that maybe popped up, you know, it's important to get that taken care of before you do let that get out of control. But anyways, that's all I've got. So if you'd stand with me.